Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 53, and we are here in Matthew 22. And the last question that we were reading here, somebody that came to Jesus Christ, a lawyer, that means a teacher of the law, and he asked him in verse 37, before that he asked him in verse 36, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law, in the Torah? What's the greatest of the teachings that God gave to mankind?" And he said, replied to him, "You shall love the Lord your God." And as we mentioned last time, when you read the full account of it, later on you go to other accounts, you read that the response of Jesus Christ in its fullness was, "The first commandment is this, hear, O Israel," that means obey, O Israel, or hear the word of God, be willing to listen. As Christ said, "He that has an ear, let him hear," respond, walk in that path and way, and it's not just a matter of curiosity. You hear and you say, "Well, that's interesting," then you do nothing about it. He's talking about people who are really willing to follow. And so that was his response. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Mitzvah. You see? Because there were 613 mitzvot, that means commandments. 10 of them were called the oracles, the 10 oracles, Aseret HaDibrot, and all the rest were called, by different names in Hebrew, in English translated to precepts, statutes, judgments, testimonies, and so forth. And he said, this is the great one, the love toward God. And the second is like it, just of the same equal value, just like it. You shall love your neighbor, that is your friend, your mate, you see, anybody around you, any human being, as yourself, anybody that comes, you know, close to you and in contact with you. Obviously, he's not talking about the entirety of the whole earth, because, you know, if you have people who are in China and you are here, you don't know them from Adam, how are you going to love them, you see? So obviously, because of the human reality, the people around you are the ones that you develop a relationship with. And that's why I use the terminology, also your friend. And they are the ones that you ought to live in peace with and love in accordance with the Torah, the teachings of the Torah. And so I said the second one is just the same, because you cannot love one and hate the other. You see? That's as simple as that. And so I said you shall love your neighbor as yourself on these two commandments. So they are the greatest, because one is just like the other. Hang all the law, all the Torah, and the prophets. The entirety of the law that God gave in Sinai from the beginning of time, from the Garden of Eden, you see, and all that the prophets talked about, which is, in essence, they were bringing to the attention of Israel, the knowledge of the law that God gave Moses in Sinai, and also telling them about the infractions of the law, their transgressions. So the entirety of the writings of what God gave to men through his servants was around these two commandments. You see? Now what happens when people say, well, the law is done away with? Well, the law is done away with, and the love toward God is done away with, and the love toward your friend is done away with, and what do you have left? You see? That shows you the insanity that is in the heart of men. And of course, you know, they pick and choose. They say, oh, well, you know, we're willing to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, even that they are not willing to. You see? Because when it says, you shall not bear false witness, and yet they claim that they are of Christ, and they do not keep his law. You see, they're breaking the Ten Commandments. You break one, you break them all. He told them keep the Sabbath, they say, oh no, we're going to keep Sunday. They're breaking the Ten Commandments, you see, the Ten Oracles. So in either case, you don't see any truth there. And they commit adultery, you know, spiritual adultery. Instead of worshiping God in truth and in spirit, they invent, you know, their own doctrines and ideas, demonically inspired, or concocted in their own brain, you see. In doing that, they're committing adultery, so forth. So, when you really follow the exact teachings of what God gave men, and you walk in them, and they become a part of your nature, then you're obeying the Torah and the prophets, you see. And then you're obeying the great ones, which in subdivisions include everything else, you see, all the other laws that came, statutes, judgments, precepts, they are subdivisions of the big ones. So it's all one package deal. You do one, you do them all. As James says, you break one, you break them all. And then verse 41, we continue, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about the Christ? So he put them on the, you know, on the spot there. Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. They were aware of that. You see, the knowledge was there that Jesus Christ is going to descend from David. Well, this is only half of the answer. It's not the entirety of it, because the Bible gives us other accounts of Christ and where he comes from, because he's without a father, without a mother, after the order of Melchizedek and so forth. So they did not necessarily respond all the way. And so he continued to ask them, and he said to them, how then does David in the Spirit, you see, inspired by the Holy Spirit, call him Lord, Adon, Master? You see, David was the king of Israel, so who is his master but God? You see, nobody could be higher than David. Why does he call him Lord? Saying, that is in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired him to say that. The Lord said to my Lord, Neum Adoni Lehova. In Hebrew, Adoni means my Lord, Adon, and Yehovah means the Eternal. So the Eternal said to my Master, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Well, how are they going to answer to that? Obviously they can't. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? You see? Well, until you understand the entirety of the story, and if you say that he's just a son of David and that's where he stopped, that means, well, he's just flesh and blood just like us. You obviously don't get it properly. And they did not. They did not by choice. It's not that they could not understand it. They know all the other scriptures. Many people around understood that. Son of David means Lord. They called him Lord. Nathanael understood it, that being son of David makes him the son of God, that means God, an eternal being, a deity. You see, the one who had many names, the God of Israel. That knowledge was still there. These Pharisees were willingly blind because they were not about to accept this person, you see, that stood before them. Had he come as a spirit being with awesome power and glory and might, that would have been different. You see, but since he came in the flesh, they were not willing to accept that this is the one, because they were blinded by their own covetousness and envy. And so, when he made that statement to them, if David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, because they knew better. You see, so he shut their mouth, in essence. And they themselves were honest enough to admit that they were, you know, taken. They were put on the spot and they couldn't back off from the corner. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. You see, now they were exposed in public before all, and they realized you can never win an argument with him. And so with all their hypocrisy and unbelief and covetousness, they were still willing to admit, he's right, we're not. And so they stopped the, you know, this manner of many. No matter what you tell them, no matter how many facts you give them, they still have the what if, what if. What about this and what about that? In other words, no matter what you tell them, truth does not matter, facts don't matter. They're not willing to listen, period. And that's it. Well, these people came to this point in essence. They realized, even beyond that, he cannot even come with him anymore with a but if, because they were convicted and convinced, you see, knowing that they are wrong, and there was nothing they could do about it. So they were not going to make them, you know, fools out of themselves, you know, again and again and again. So they stopped at this point. And at this point, Jesus Christ is addressing the multitudes. Chapter 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples. Well, all those Pharisees are there, and Sadducees and others. And this is what he said. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Those very people who were standing right there were the Pharisees, who were the teachers of the law. And even though, you know, they had their problems, he's still right in front of them and before all the multitude and his own disciples acknowledged this reality that he himself was responsible for and his father was responsible for in making it a reality because of the circumstances. The Pharisees and the scribes should not have been sitting in the seat of Moses, but the priesthood should have been there in accordance with the law of God. But when the priesthood rejected the law of God, they were not as faithful with it as they should have been. The people rejected them because they were Hellenizing, and because they were liberalizing the law, and because they were not faithful to it. The people had no trust in them. As Christ himself said to the Sadducees, you do not know the scriptures. You don't really understand it properly, which means you cannot really be bona fide teachers of the law of God. So he did not acknowledge them as the teachers of the law, but still, in spite of all the problems of the Pharisees and their covetousness and things like that, and not all of them were of the same spirit. Remember, as we mentioned, the two different houses, and even among them, there were those who were more honest than others. We have an example of Nicodemus, you see, and many others who were like that. But, unfortunately, politics is always there, and that's basically what was behind it. And so, nevertheless, in spite of that, he still said, so here it is, the Son of God, the God of Israel, the one who gave the law to Moses and wanted the priesthood to be in that office. Because of circumstances, the Pharisees had to take the reign of the, you know, the helm of the spiritual government there in terms of teaching the law of God, and they were doing it. So, they were teaching the law of God, the law of Moses, you see. At the same time, they gave the permission to themselves and gave themselves the license to begin to interpret the law. They didn't do it always because of malice. Human beings do it by nature. You read the law, you know, you try to understand it. But unfortunately, they went too far in adding commandments that made the law of God of none effect in certain points. Not all of it, you know, here and there, you see. And so nevertheless, he acknowledged this fact, which an awful lot of people to this very day are not willing to acknowledge. And they come up with all kind of reasonings around it. Well, he didn't really mean it. This is just an irony or things like that. You see, why lie? The word of God is very plain. Jesus Christ made it very plain. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. He didn't say they said, he didn't say it's an irony, he said they do. That means I approve of it. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. It's a command. How many people believe in it? How many people obey it? How many people who came down the road later on who called themselves Christians obeyed this command of Jesus Christ? You see? Instead, they defied it. And they spoke evil of the Pharisees and the scribes. Of course, they had their problems. Everybody does. And those who accused them were even in a much worse condition because they were not even teaching the law of Moses, the law of God. They were not sitting in the seat of Moses. And yet they took to themselves all the authority and the power to do whatever they wanted to do, and they created a new religion. They called it Christianity, you see. And they were in total defiance to Jesus Christ. He made it very plain. They sit in the seat of Moses, therefore, because of that, and because I approve of it, he did not say disapprove of that. He says, therefore, you better observe whatever they tell you to do, in accordance, obviously, with the law of Moses. Now, if they begin to teach you of their own teachings, interpretations, commentaries, whatever it may be, and you check the scriptures, like the Bereans, you know, they wanted to check on the Apostle Paul to see whether those things that he was saying were so, you see, because at that point, Paul was sitting in the seat of Moses and teaching the law of God, and they wanted to check with the scriptures, you know, the law and the prophets, you see, and they found that whatever Paul said was correct, and so they followed it. Well, what about all this who came later on, that called themselves Christians? They did not do that, you see. Instead of that, they persecuted the Jews, they hated them, they destroyed them, they envied them, they were jealous of the fact that they were where they were and they had the knowledge of God, you see, and finally they became so, you know, devious and demented and perverted and warped in their minds and hearts that they basically proclaimed that anything the Jew teaches is evil, you see. They weren't going to follow it, you see. Well, these are children of the devil. One of these days, God is going to resurrect them, open their eyes, and is going to make them, you know, smell their own stench and loathe themselves. But this is a command that he made, that he did here at this point. He could have said, you know, forget about them, follow me. Or he could have said, well, you know, you Jews, you follow the scribes and Pharisees, because, you know, that's all you have, they're all Jews. But as for you, my disciples, you follow me and my disciples, you know, those who will come later on. He didn't say any of that. He made that statement to the multitudes, all of his people, and his disciples. You see, how many people pay attention to that? They're wise in their own conceit. I think we know better. An awful lot of Johnny-come-latelys in the past 2,000 years, and they think they know better because we've got the Spirit of God and they don't. Christ made it very plain. They sit in the seat of Moses, whatever they teach you to do, which is in accordance to the law of Moses, you do. Well, of course, if you were alive in that generation, you were bound to do it. Now they're not around in the sense of that generation as things used to be, you see. So obviously, those who come in the name of God, opening the Word of God, the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, the writings of the disciples, and so forth, and teach you directly from it, and you prove them, and you see that it is so, they also sit in the proverbial, you know, seat of Moses, you see. And, you know, that was sort of an idiom, a metaphor for sitting on the seat of the teacher, the teacher, Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because that's what the seat of Moses was all about, you see. And literally in the synagogue, and those disciples later on that followed Christ in truth and in spirit, first they were all Jews, and after that there were also some others, they literally had to sit there in the house of worship, whether he called it synagogue or anything else later on, doesn't make any difference, just a name. Synagogue means, house of congregation where you congregate, has no holy name about it. It's the same word of church, ecclesia, the congregation, you know. That's all it means. So they had to sit there, and somebody sat there who was knowledgeable of the law, and he taught it from Genesis 1:1, and then as time went on, when the whole book was there, to Revelation, the last verse. That was called the seat of Moses. And to this very day, you see, wherever it's being taught, exactly, directly from the law of God, that's what it is. That's what he's saying. In essence, anybody who comes and teaches you the Word of God, the law of God, and the prophets, and the writings, you know, and the epistles of the disciples, all their letters, which is of God, you better do and observe. You see, that's the simplicity of that. At the time, at that moment, those Pharisees were officially sitting there and doing it, and the scribes. And whoever came later on, we're doing exactly the same. It's the same thing for them too. And that's what he means here. So whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But now you make a difference. But do not do according to their works. So you obey what they say, if it is of the law, but don't follow their example. Yet some people, you know, would say, I cannot hear you because of what you are, so I'm not going to listen to you. That's not of God, that's of man, you see. That's, in essence, being just as guilty as the person who does, you know, that means who says something but does not do it. You, in essence, follow his example, you see, in reverse. And Christ said, no, that's not the way to do it. Even if the devil himself comes and speaks the truth, if it is the truth, it's the truth. Simple as that. You know, Balaam's ass speaks, it's Balaam's ass. And if Balaam himself, who was a greedy, covetous prophet, when he spoke the truth, he spoke the truth. It doesn't make any difference who does, a stone, a wood, a person, an evil person, a righteous person. We have to learn to differentiate the truth from the person, or the bad example of the person. You see? That's what he's saying here. And many people are not listening to that. You know, they look at certain people and then they look at their own example and they say, well, that's a hypocrite. I know what that person is all about. I'm not going to listen to him. Well, you become a disobedient person and you're not a follower of Christ. Because if you follow Christ, you would follow him in every point. And he made this point. You do when they teach you righteousness. Just don't follow after their example. So we have to learn to do that too. As difficult as it may be, we have to learn to separate the truth, the wheat from the chaff. If you're not doing it, you're not wise. You see? Just like the people that say, you know, you throw the baby with the bathwater. There's something wrong in your brain, if that's the way you function. And you have to admit it. I've got a personal problem, and I have to overcome it. I have to learn to differentiate the teachings of God from the teacher. You know, the teacher has got problems. That's his problem. The teachings remain true. And unfortunately, this is what people do when they get disheartened and when they get, you know, disappointed and disillusioned with certain personalities. They totally forsake everything and they say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Well, they're just as wicked as the ones that they have forsaken. There's no difference between them and those who are, you know, doing these kind of things. Because all you're doing is just the same as they do in reverse. You see? And that's a problem that has been and still is to this very day. People are not wise enough to discern that which is holy and that which is profane. You see? Now, if somebody took a diamond ring or a gold coin or whatever it may be and threw it in the toilet, what does that mean? It's no longer a diamond and it's no longer a gold coin? It is. Everybody who is sane is going to stick his hand back there and pick it up and wash it and cleanse it and wash his hands, and he still has a diamond and a gold coin. You see? That's what Christ is talking about. The truth may reside in the heart of an evil person, of a wicked person, of a deceitful person. The truth is still the truth. So I have to separate one from the other. And many people don't know how to do it. You see, because they've got a problem too, themselves. They're not really honest with the Word of God. It's not God they are searching for. It's their own opinion, their own feelings. You see, what they think about whatever and whoever. So I made it very plain. In essence, in this case, it's the Pharisee and the scribes, but anybody who speaks the Word of God, regardless of who that person is. You see, learn to separate right from wrong, truth from error. And that's the way it works. That's what he said. So you observe and do what they tell you to do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. And people say, well, you know, this is what you say, but you don't do it, so, you know, I don't want to listen to you. He says, no, you better listen. Because the issue is not the person, the issue is the truth. The issue is not the messenger, the issue is the message. So you should never find yourself in this haughty, arrogant, foolish attitude of whom do you think you are? It doesn't make any difference who that person thinks he is or who that person is. The question is, what is the word? What is the message that is bringing to you? You see, this is what your eyes should be on. Because that word is of God. That word is an extension of the mind and the nature of God. That word in that sense is God. So what are you rejecting? Who are you rejecting ultimately when you do that? You see? So, you know, as I said many times, he that has an ear, let him hear. If you're wise enough to understand it, then behave accordingly. And if you're a fool like the ones that you reject, well, you end up in the same boat. So now he's explaining the difference between what they do and what they say. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Now God did not bind heavy burdens, which are hard to bear, and he did not lay them on men's shoulders. Well, that was their problem, you see. They were teaching the law of God, and then they were inventing their own commentary and their own ideas, you see. And while they themselves, so first they do it, and then they're hypocritical because they're not even doing what they're saying themselves. So they've got double problem there. But nevertheless, the law of God remains the law of God. You see, nobody should ever despise it. You despise it, you despise God. It's as simple as that. And so he continues here in verse 5, but all their works they do to be seen by men. Well, that's human nature. Most people are that way. Unfortunately, it's not just the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those people who accuse them of doing that, most of them do it themselves. You see, and that makes them even more hypocrites because they feign righteousness while they're accusing others of unrighteousness. And he said, obviously, that's not the behavior of the one who follows God, who follows Jesus Christ. He said, they make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. You see, the borders of the garments, according to the law, you're supposed to make four borders, and on it you put the fringes, which was a part of the law of God, to remind you of the laws of God. And so they make them large so everybody can see it from a distance and know, oh, what righteous men, you know, they go over and above and beyond. You see? Well, that's hypocrisy. because this is not what God asked you. So what are you doing it for? Well, for show. And God is not interested in religion for show. And most people do it for show. So he says, do not be that kind of people. Do not be hypocrites. In other words, they still teach the law of God, but look at the other things that they do, which in essence tells them, you follow the law of God, you follow what they tell you to do, and you do what they tell you to do, which is in accordance with the law of God. But when they go for those extra, you know, things, which are not of the law of God, which oftentimes are a product of vanity and covetousness, he said, I don't want you to follow that. And that goes for everybody else, anywhere on the face of the earth, at any given generation. Because that's human nature, unfortunately. And the more religious people are, oftentimes, the more hypocritical they are, and bigoted, and selfish, and self-seeking, and self-exalting. And people have to be wary of that. But at the same time, they should never come to the point where they despise the teachings of God that comes out of the mouth of those kind of people, just because they themselves are hypocrites. You see? Otherwise, that makes us also hypocrites, if we use this kind of reasoning, because God gave us a law. You do what they say that is the teacher of the law, just don't follow their example. You see? So do not tell every people, well, this is what you say, but this is not what you do, so and I'll forget about you. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to do my own thing. Well, you become just as bad as they are. What have you gained by that? And so he gives another example of their problem. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, you know, wherever they are. In other words, the spirit of self-exaltation is there, and that's contrary to the law of God. The law of Moses didn't teach that. God didn't teach this law. So people should not act like that. Just because you're a teacher of the law doesn't mean that, you know, you sit on a throne and everybody, you know, kneels before you and kisses your ring or bows before you. Yet you see those people and you've been, you know, seeing them for the last 2,000 years. You see, men of religion that claim to be the servants of Jesus Christ, you know, the vicar of Christ, or the bishops of Christ, or the cardinals of Christ, or pastors of Christ, or ministers of Christ, whatever name they give them, or in the Jewish community, you know, the rabbis, or whatever other names they have it, you see, they are all worshipped by people around them. That's idol worship that you see there all around, and that's contrary to the law of God. That's a defiance against the law of God, because God forbid all those things, you see. And yet people do it, and the people who are, in essence, soliciting that are the ones who are supposed to be the leaders, the teachers, who should teach them not to do it. And yet they are the very ones, by their own behavior and conduct, are teaching idolatry in Israel. And that's, in essence, what these Pharisees were doing. They were teaching idolatry. You know, worship me, worship men. And God says, cursed be the man that puts his trust in men, and yet they commanded people to put the trust in them, and to this very day they do it. So you find a lot of those people, I don't know, what do you ask me? You know, ask the rabbi or ask the minister, you know, he knows, ask the bishop, ask the pastor, ask the priest, you see? What about you learning the law of God and walking in it? Which they, you know, to begin with, supposed to teach you, but they're not doing it. And so everybody's guilty, unfortunately. And so he says, you know, that's the kind of people they are, you know, self-exalting. And they see greetings in the marketplaces, you know, here it is, the big pupa, you know, the grand, you know, whatever, great man, and everybody likes to greet them, they all rush to them. If they were just a teacher of the law, had no great reputation, if they were just wise people walking in humbleness and meekness, nobody's going to pay attention to them, you see, but if they're high and mighty and self-exalted, you know, for selfish reasons, people will go and greet them. So both become guilty, the ones who seeks the greeting and the one who does it. And Christ says, don't be this kind of people on either side. You see, you can be wrong on either side, but the truth, nevertheless, should remain the truth. And so he says, they seek greetings in the marketplaces and to be called by men, master, master, or rabbi, rabbi, teacher, teacher. A lot of people, you know, still to this very day like to be called the teacher. I'm the teacher. You see? You teach the law of God. You know, I don't need a title for it. Just do it, you see. And, you know, the servants of God didn't give themselves titles. You see a lot of organizations. They've got all those ranks and all those, you know, hierarchical names that they have, all kind of names. And those are not of God. Nowhere in the Bible would you see those titles. So what did they come up with? Why do people follow them? Why do people, you know, supposedly honor those people, those men or women sometimes, by giving them those names or calling them by those names which didn't come from the mouth of God. You see? As God said, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, and the fear of me is taught by the commandments of men. It's all in vain. And it's blasphemy against God, because a lot of the names that they are using are blasphemies against God. Like this one. He called people Rabbi, Rabbi. He says, but you do not be called Rabbi. It's a command. It's a law of God. Don't be called a Rabbi. Don't be called a Master. Don't be called Seigneur. You know, whatever they call them in different languages. Monseigneur. My teacher. My Mister. My Rabbi. That's all it means. He said, don't do it. And people do it. Why? Because they're not listening to the voice of God. They don't have an ear to hear. They couldn't care less about what God said. Just want to have their own religion and feel good, and yet claim to be the followers of Christ or followers of God. That's how foolish people are. That's why it says, you know, the devil deceived the whole world. They don't read the Word of God to see what God said and live accordingly. They just go by what men says to them. They themselves do not open the Bible, and those who do, in their hypocrisy, they read all these things and they still do it anyway. And they claim to be the servants of God. He says, do not be called Rabbi. Neither should you call anybody a rabbi, nor should you call yourself a rabbi. You see? It goes both ways. Whether you call yourself a rabbi, or people call you a rabbi, you're both wrong. That's the law of God. Don't be called rabbi, for one is your teacher. That's what rabbi means. You see? One is your teacher, teacher of the law, the Christ. And you are all brethren. So address each other as brother, not rabbi. Don't self-exalt yourself. And people do it all the time. You see, and people like to exalt others. People always need idols to worship, to look to somebody higher than themselves, make them feel good. God says, don't do it. What happens if a person does it? Is he a follower of Christ? Is he a follower of God? Or is he a rebel against the law of God, against God himself? And yet people play games. I can defy God all I want, disobey the law of God, couldn't care less about what he says, and still I want to call myself a follower of him. And you see, that's a heart of idiocy and lunacy on the part of people, and people are all over the place like that. And they all think that they're men of religion. He says, do not call anyone on earth your father. That's a command from Jesus Christ. A command from God himself, who is the Father. You see? The Father of us all. And he sent his Son to this earth to tell us, do not call any man on earth father. He's not talking about the human father. You see? And yet, what is it that people do? How many people listen to him? You see? How about the one that calls himself the Vicar of Christ? He calls himself the Holy Father. And he makes people call him the Holy Father. And he's got all those guys around calling them the Father. Whom did the Father? They're not married. They don't have children. Your physical father can command you to call him his Father because he is. Your heavenly Father can tell you, call me Father because he is. You see? Now, there is a metaphor, the spiritual metaphor, I fathered you in the faith, like Paul said, though you have many masters, you don't have many fathers, because in Jesus Christ I've begotten you in the faith, you see, but he didn't make it a spiritual title, he just made a statement of fact, you see, but there was no title there, nobody walked around, and then called the Apostle Paul Father, you see, as a disobedience to the law of Christ, and yet they use it as a spiritual title. You see, they even have it on the crayon, on the cards, or whatever. Calling cards. You see? God says, don't do it. People do it. And that they call themselves followers of Christ. Well, then, you read things like that, and if your eyes are open, if your ear is open to hear, and if your heart is open to understand, you begin to understand who is a liar, who is not. Who is a servant of God, who is not. You see? Whom should you follow? But even then, in spite of all that, if what they say is true, you cannot reject it. You see? In spite of all the lies that they say alongside, the truth still remains the truth. So you should always maintain that respect and honor for the truth, regardless where it comes from. Even from the greatest liar. Even great liars speak the truth now and then. What does that mean? Because they are great liars, the truth is no longer the truth? That's insanity to think that way, and yet we do. As we were, you know, the way we function, unfortunately. And God, who knows the heart, he's not deceived by somebody who's lying all the time. He knows when he speaks the truth, when he's not. And the truth is always the truth, and a lie will always be a lie. So there's no question of credibility in the sight of God, because he knows what's in our heart. You see? So he doesn't say, well, you're all discredited, I don't listen to anything you say. No, if you still speak the truth, even though if you're a person of no character, you know, honest character, and you're a liar by nature, still, when you spoke the truth, it is the truth. And when we know the truth, then we don't have a problem with it. And if we don't know the truth, then, you know, we've got a problem with somebody who has no credibility. And that's our problem. Not only his. And so he says, you don't call somebody a rabbi, you don't call somebody a father, and people do it. And he says, and do not be called teachers, you know, a spiritual title. There are people who walk around and say, I'm the teacher, meet the teacher. That's not of God. God gave us a command, don't be called teachers. In other words, God calls people who are to teach his people, you see, but he doesn't give them a spiritual title, the teacher. You see, that's given only to God. He doesn't call them the master, that's only given to God. He doesn't call them Father or the Father, the Holy Father. That belongs only to God. And when people take those things upon themselves, they become blasphemers. You see, no matter how sincere they are and whatever truth they teach, that's beside the point. God says, don't do it. Don't call yourself teachers. You know, a spiritual title. For one is your teacher, the Christ. So he's making always a difference. I don't want you to call somebody a father because he's in heaven. Don't call somebody a rabbi because he's in heaven. Don't call somebody his teacher because he's in heaven, not on earth. Even though at the moment he was right there in their midst. You see, so they could approach him, and everybody approached him and said, Adon, Master. And they could call him Rabbi, which is fine. You see, and one of his titles, as they're in Isaiah 9:6, is the Everlasting Father. Why? Because he created us. So he's also our Father. You see, but then the one that begets us spiritually gives us his Holy Spirit, that is his Father and our Father. So in essence, we have two fathers, you see. And then we have the physical Father. And that's why honor your father and mother is the same thing as honor God. And so he says here in verse 11, in contrast to all these self-exalting, you see, people and their attitudes, he says, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. So here I am, your servant, not your teacher, your rabbi, your master, your father. You know, father, you know, they say, you know, do this for me, you know, that for me, forgive me. Which is all a religion of blasphemy. That's why God calls it the great whore, and those that came out of it, the harlots, because they follow it one way or the other. You know, they've got the reverence. And, you know, when it says about God, holy and reverent is his name. Psalm 110. You see, that's not the name of man. And yet people take the titles of God to themselves. Why do you want to call people by names? Brother so-and-so. You see? And, you know, today we call Mr., you know, Mr. So-and-so, and it's, it doesn't mean master. You see, just today, just a title, a meaningless title in the past, you know, Mr. really meant Mr., master. He was your master. You were a slave. And nowadays has totally different connotations. So that's not wrong, because it has totally different connotation nowadays, you see. But as for the others, it says, don't do it. It's still a spiritual title, and don't give somebody that spiritual title. And when you call somebody Mr., you don't give him a spiritual title. You see? So that's a different story. And that's what he's saying here. In contrast to all that, if you are the greatest, you know, as a teacher, as a man of the law, as a man of wisdom, knowledge and understanding, and you're recognized as a great man, after all, that's a reality. You know, some people are wiser than others, and those who are wiser are greater. You see? That's a reality. It's not something you need to play games with and deny. So who is the greatest among you shall be your servant. You see? And that's how they presented themselves, all the disciples of Christ, when they wrote to all the congregation, servant, bondservant of Jesus Christ. You see? And so it is an exalted, in essence, role to being a servant. You know, serving others. That's what Christ himself called himself, a servant. And he himself, that's one of his titles, the servant of the Lord. People don't like to be that way. Another one call themselves titles. Everybody, you know, looks up to them. And whoever, he says, exalts himself, which all these people were doing, will be humbled. That's reality. You see? And for these people, they're not going to be humbled only, they're going to be humiliated before all. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. It's as simple as that. You know, this is a part of the law of God. That's a law like the law of gravity. You break it, it breaks you. You can't play games with the law of God and say, wow, well, the law of gravity is done away with. I don't believe that, you know, that it's in existence, so I jump from the, you know, the 10th floor. You know? We don't do that. You know, we have a little bit of sanity there. But if we lose our, you know, sanity, we become insane. Well, people do it. You see, when people commit suicide, they lose their sanity. They don't think straight anymore. And that's what they do, they jump over the bridge. And so people who are exalting themselves are going to be humbled. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. So now first he was addressing his disciples and the multitudes, now he's addressing those very people who were all around him, and everybody else who is in that category to this very day, and that's applicable to every single one of us who is behaving in that manner. So all those people that call themselves, you know, by the spiritual titles, this is what Christ is now saying to them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. How do you do it? You're teaching them lies. You teach them idolatry, to, you know, look up to you instead of to God. You teach them your own doctrines instead of teaching them the truth that would lead them to the kingdom of God. And how many people are doing it to this very day? All religions on the face of the earth are doing it, and all religious leaders, to one degree or the other, are doing it. And there are very few who are the real servants of God, who step out of the way and lead you directly to Christ and God and not to themselves, you see. There are very few like that. There have always been very few. And so, to the rest, this is what he's saying here. You Pharisees, you know, you, well, the word Pharisee by itself is not a bad name, you know. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. Well, it means a person who separates himself from God. Some people in their ignorance, they think, you know, well, Christ, you know, he spoke against those people. He called them Pharisees. He didn't call them Pharisees. They were Pharisees. And he commanded Israel to be Pharisees. He says, be you separate. Come out of the world and be you separate. That's what Pharisee means. Parush, lifrosh, to separate. A lot of ignorance out there. And so he says, woe to you scribes. You know, what's wrong with the word scribe? You know, he's a teacher of the law, writer of the law. There's nothing wrong. You know, it's not a derogatory statement, scribe or Pharisee. But hypocrite, well, that's a different story. You hypocrites, that was the problem with them, not that they were scribes or Pharisees. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against man, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. And that's what he's saying to all the religious leaders, you know, the overwhelming majority of them, which are not true, which are not faithful to God, which do their own thing, you see. He says, you neither go there, you know, you all claim, you know, especially with these false doctrines, well, you know, if I'm going to obey God and be righteous before God, I'm going to go to heaven. That's a lie. Nobody goes up to heaven. Heaven comes down to earth. So you already have a liar there, speaking in the name of God, you see. And so they shut the kingdom before man. They neither go there, they're not going to be in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is going to be on this earth, and they think they're going to heaven. So they neither go there, and then they teach others lies, and they too are not going to end up there until their eyes are opened, and they repent, and turn around, and spew, you know, and puke all those lies that they've been taught, and confess, just like you did through the prophets, all the nations of the earth are going to come before Christ, who's going to be in Zion when his kingdom is set upon this earth, and they're going to confess, you know, our fathers taught us lies. All the religions on the face of the earth, you know, including Judaism, they're full of lies. But still, on the other hand, there is truth in every single religion on the face of the earth, and some have more and some have less. But because of what the devil has done and his ministers on this earth, to every given religion, they warped it, you know, they demented it, they perverted it, and therefore it's full of lies. And so they're going to confess all the lies that they've been taught, not the good things that they've been taught. After all, if your religion teaches you that it's not good to murder, it's not good to steal, and it's good, you know, to help people and serve people, you cannot call it a lie. That's not a lie, you see. But all the others, which are contrary to the law of God, they are lies. And so all the spiritual leaders in the past many thousands of years from the Garden of Eden, they neither end up in the final destiny, which is the kingdom of God, the kingdom which is of heaven, not in heaven. And all those who followed them, and all those religions in the past, you know, thousands of years, all the followers are not going to be there either until God resurrects them, changes their heart and minds, puts his laws in them, not all the fables they've been taught, and only then they will be, you see. So this is talking about a condition, what happens for those people who are not going to be there because of their teachings, their false teachings. But there is always the other side of repentance. So even then, you know, it's not the end of the story, not even for those hypocrites, Pharisees and scribes and others, in every given religion on the face of the earth to this very day. And so it says, you neither go there yourself, nor do you allow these who are entering to go in. And then he continues, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. That was a major problem there, the hypocrisy, not the law that they were teaching. You see, that is the law of Moses. Obviously, it's not. He did not approve, you know, the do's and don'ts which were contrary to the law, but there are do's and don'ts which are in accordance with the law of God. So even then, you have to sift between the wheat and the chaff. You cannot throw everything else. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.